Well, good morning.
It's good to come together, isn't it, to worship God this morning.
The opening verse that I've put on the overhead this morning: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Many of you will already know, but it's with great sadness this morning that I share the news that Matt Sochi, Beth's husband and father to Noah, passed away last weekend. As a fellowship, we share in the grief and sorrow felt by Beth and the families involved. And our time of worship this morning will undoubtedly reflect that. And even though we do not understand, God has not changed. He is still God and loves us all so much. So I would ask that you all please continue to hold Beth, Noah, and the families in your prayers over the coming days and weeks ahead. And obviously we will certainly be praying for them a little later this morning. So before we start and sing our opening couple of songs, let's just still ourselves before God, and then I'll pray. Almighty God, as we stand in awe of your goodness and mercy today, we invite you to be present among us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we declare that we love you. Thank you that you have made the way of love known through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would reveal this great love to us all today as we gather to worship. Lead us by your Spirit to praise you. May our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and our mouths proclaim your everlasting greatness. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing a couple of songs together, and we're going to start with "The Lord's My Shepherd, I Will Not Want."
With me and your rod and staff, and the comfort I need to know, and I will trust in you, oh, and I will trust in you.
To everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow.
Come to a time of prayer now. Let's just pray together. Holy God, we offer to you our prayers for the world, for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and for those who inflict suffering, for those who are persecuted, and for those who fuel the machines of persecution, for those who are abandoned or forgotten, and those that create the nets through which others fall. Lord, this morning we bring the events in Turkey and Syria to you. Please be with all those there, those searching and serving, those mourning, and those communities that have lost all they had. Be with all as they process the reality of what has happened. Please provide comfort, protection, and restoration. Shine your light, Lord, into the darkness of this situation. We bring before you also, Lord, all those in our fellowship that need you in a special way this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for Matt, and that we have some comfort in the fact that he's now with you. And we especially want to remember Beth and Noah as they continue to grieve. Be with them and wrap your loving arms around them. Comfort them in their time of sorrow. And for the wider family, Matt's parents, Sue and Jim and his sister, let them know your presence over the coming days. And for Laura, Philip and family too, please be with them as they too process this loss and support Beth. Show them all your love and comfort them, especially over the next few weeks as they prepare to release and give Matt to you. Shine your light, Lord, into the darkness of this situation. For those in our fellowship that are unwell or recovering from sickness or operation, those that are in care or housebound, and those others that are missing loved ones, be with them all and with those that care for them. We miss those that are, for whatever reason, not here today. So, Lord, let them all feel your love, comfort, and protection. Shine your light, Lord, into the darkness of these situations. And for us here in the building and those sharing online, we place ourselves before you now. Shape us all into the people you want us to be, highlighting the things in us that need to change. Shine your light, Lord, into our lives and help us share the light and love of Jesus with those we meet as we continue to walk daily with you. And now as we continue in our worship, let's say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
What is that? It's a problem. Who said that? It's not just a problem, is it? It's a big problem. And lots of us, in fact all of us, go through problems, don't we? Some big and some not so big. And this morning we're looking at David and seeing what we can learn about the way he conducted his life and especially the way he prayed. And I don't know if you remember, there's a really great story, isn't there, of David who had a fairly large problem.
David was a shepherd boy who lived in Bethlehem. He looked after his father's sheep. David's father asked him to take food to his brothers who were with Saul's army fighting the Philistines. David obeyed his father. He got up early the next morning and left someone else in charge of the sheep. Then he loaded the supplies and started off. David left his things with the man in charge of supplies and ran up to the battle line to ask his brothers if they were well. While David was talking with them, Goliath came out from the line of Philistines and started boasting as usual. Goliath was the hero of the Philistine army from the town of Gath and was nearly 3 meters tall. He wore a bronze helmet and had bronze armor to protect his chest and legs. The chest armor alone weighed about 57 kilograms. A soldier always walked in front of Goliath to carry his shield. Goliath went out and shouted to the army of Israel,
"Why are you lining up for battle? Here and now, I challenge Israel's whole army. Choose someone to fight me."
David asked some soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and stopping him from insulting our people? Who does that worthless Philistine think he is? He's making fun of the army of the living God." Saul the king sent for David, as soldiers had told him what he had said. "Your Majesty, this Philistine shouldn't turn us into cowards. I'll go out and fight him myself."
"You don't have a chance against him," Saul replied. "You're only a boy, and he's been a soldier all his life."
"Your Majesty, he shouldn't have made fun of the army of the living God. The Lord has rescued me from the claws of lions and bears, and he will keep me safe from the hands of this Philistine."
"All right," Saul answered. "Go ahead and fight him, and I hope the Lord will help you."
Saul had his own military clothes and armor put on David, and he gave David a bronze helmet to wear. David strapped on a sword and tried to walk around, but he was not used to wearing those things.
"I can't move with all this stuff on. I'm just not used to it."
David took off the armor and picked up his shepherd's stick. He went out to a stream and picked up 5 smooth rocks and put them in his leather bag. Then, with his sling in his hand, he went straight towards Goliath. Goliath came towards David, walking behind the soldier who was carrying his shield. When Goliath saw that David was just a healthy, good-looking boy, he made fun of him.
"Do you think I'm a dog?" Goliath asked. "Is that why you've come after me with a stick?"
He cursed David in the name of the Philistine gods and shouted,
"Come on! When I'm finished with you, I'll feed you to the birds and wild animals."
"You've come out to fight me with a sword and a spear and a dagger, but I've come out to fight you in the name of the Lord All-Powerful. He is the God of Israel's army, and you have insulted him too. Today, the Lord will help me defeat you. I'll knock you down and cut off your head, and I'll feed the bodies of the other Philistine soldiers to the birds and wild animals. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a real God. Everybody here will see that the Lord doesn't need swords or spears to save his people. The Lord always wins his battles, and he will help us defeat you."
When Goliath started forward, David ran towards him. He put a rock in his sling and swung the sling around by its straps. When he let go of one strap, the rock flew out.
and hit Goliath on the forehead. It cracked his skull, and he fell face down on the ground. David defeated Goliath with a sling and a rock. He killed him without even using a sword. David ran over and pulled out Goliath's sword. Then he used it to cut off Goliath's head. When the Philistines saw what had happened to their hero, they started running away.
A big problem, huh? Now, I wonder when you face problems, is your glass half empty or is it half full? For David, of course, we know that his glass wasn't half empty or half full. What does he say in Psalm 23? You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. His glass was never half empty or half full. His glass was always running over. Because you may have a big problem, but we have a bigger God. And no matter how big your problem is, or circumstance you find yourself, God is always, always bigger. That's great to know, isn't it? That no matter what we go through in life, the trials, the temptations, the difficulties, that we have a God that loves us and is bigger than all that and has gone before. So remember that when you think of the story of little David and big Goliath. Who did he put his trust and faith in? It wasn't the circumstance. It wasn't the armor. It wasn't even the sling and the stone. It was the God that he knew. And this morning, as we take a look at David in a little more detail later, and maybe some of you also will have picked a psalm that maybe David wrote. And this morning is going to be a bit of a sharing morning where some of you are just going to come and share your favourite psalm. Which means you don't have to listen to much of me. But it's going to be good that we can encourage and share together as we look at the psalms and we look at David and we look at his life. His cup overflowed. Why? Because he knew the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he was bigger than every situation that he faced. Amen. We're going to come together and we're going to sing a song now. And it's this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So let's stand and let's sing this great hymn together. Thank you, Brian.
Please take your seats. So this morning, as we continue our series on prayer, let me remind you of the key verse that we've been looking at. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. When we've run out of steam, reached rock bottom, or simply don't know which way to turn, we have an assurance from Scripture, don't we, that our gracious God is always there, ready and willing to help in all circumstances. And so this morning, we turn and we take a look at David. Now, I don't know what first comes to mind when you think about this character. Might it be the epic battle with the huge fighting machine that was Goliath? Or maybe it was the way he was singled out by God to become king. It might be, for you, that it was the way he stole another man's wife that comes to mind. Or his running and hiding from King Saul. But whatever story or image you have of David, he was chosen by God. And, like many of the characters in the Bible, didn't always get things right. But you know, God still loved him. And we get a sense in many of the Psalms that David wrote that he had reached a point where he needed God and cried out to help. As well as times when he just praised and gave God thanks. And we can be encouraged as we read and pray some of these verses into our own lives. And so, this morning, you have an opportunity to share a verse or two from a psalm that has spoken to you and thus can be an encouragement to each of us, one another. And there's a psalm that I've been mulling over for some time. And it's a few verses from Psalm chapter 25, which read this. Show me the right path, O Lord. And this is David. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. Now, I'm not going to say too much this morning, just in case one of you has also picked this psalm. But for me, it's the very beginning that I want to highlight. Show me the right path, Lord. The New Revised Standard Version puts it like this. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. And the message reads, show me how you work, God. School me in your ways. Take me by the hand. Lead me down the path of truth. Show me the right path. And I simply want God to show me his way. To show me how to do it his way and not mine. And I'm hoping that you want to affirm that for your own lives too. Can you say with all sincerity, echoing the opening verse, O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. And that was verse 1 from that psalm, David saying, I give my life to you, God. I trust in you. Is this your reality this morning? That no matter what, in every circumstance we find ourselves, whether that be soaring over the mountaintops or walking the darkest valley, we can totally and honestly say that Jesus is in charge. So let's allow God to show us the right path. We need to walk with him. Now it would be great this morning to hear some of your stories. What's encouraged you from the Psalms? So I've asked a few of you to come up and share, and maybe some of you others that haven't been asked. If you have a burning part of a psalm that you want to share with us this morning to encourage us, then you can do that too. So Annalisa, come and share your psalm. Encourage us with some words of scripture.
So when Nick set us this task last Sunday, two psalms immediately popped into my head. And then I received a phone call last Sunday afternoon from Beth, which kind of sent my week off into a completely different path. And so I spent a lot of time just kind of opening my Bible at random pages. And quite a few times throughout this week, Psalm 32 has fallen open. And so I thought I'd read out the Message version because the words in it spoke to me more than any other translation that I read. It reminds me that as a Christian, it's easy to walk away from God sometimes and to turn your back on him. But actually, when you do that, life tends to not work out the way it should. So this just reminded me this week how important my life as a Christian and my life in God is. Count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start, your slate's wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you, and you're holding nothing back from him. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said I'll come clean about my failures to God. Suddenly the pressure was gone, my guilt dissolved, my sin disappeared. These things add up. Every one of us needs to pray. When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we'll be on high ground, untouched. God's my island hideaway, keeps danger far from the shore, throws garlands of hosannas around my neck. Let me give you some good advice. I'm looking you in the eye and giving it to you straight. Don't be ornery like a horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to stay on track. God defiers are always in trouble. God affirmers find themselves loved every time they turn around. Celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. All you honest hearts, raise the roof. Amen.
Gina, who many of you will know, who's now living in Liverpool, she sent me an email this week saying that she picked Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And she said that this has been a challenging psalm for her and one of great comfort too. She goes on and says, I was given this verse by so many well-meaning people from church family back then in London, usually in pretty little cards that were handwritten. And I would say to the Lord, not another card with Psalm 46 verse 10. I just don't know how to trust you and be still. She goes on, for me, it meant that I had to stop and look to the Lord for everything. And in the last few years, when reading and thinking on this verse, God has said to her, nothing is a surprise or shock to me, Gina. I know just where you are. I see Joe and Lois. Lean on me. Have I not held you this far and loved you? Be still and know that I am God. Where's John? John, come and share.
Come with me in your imaginations back to 1965. I was a VSO in Freetown, in Sierra Leone, in West Africa. A relatively modern city with shops, tarmac roads, electricity most of the time, water supply, etc. And I let it be known amongst my Christian friends that I would love to see what real missionary work up country in Africa was about. And a missionary family invited me to stay with them over the school holidays in August. Wilbur and Joyce were Americans, and the last 90 miles to the little dot on the map, the mud huts with palm thatch, would have passed for a farm track in this country. The Land Rover was good enough to get along a road like that, but you wouldn't have wanted to drive it in an ordinary car. And Wilbur was a builder and a carpenter, and in America he could have made a good living. And in the general discussion, I forget how it came out, the family were living on below the poverty line in America. And I discovered that missionary work wasn't the white man in his pith helmet reading from the authorized version under a palm tree. It was putting a ceiling in the little village school so that the children wouldn't fry as the sun hit the corrugated iron roof. It was being friendly with the local chief and getting instruments for the village band so that when the missionaries wanted to do more in that village, they would then be welcome. And it was sending the three children off to the mission school 90-odd miles away to board there each time it was school term. And it was being 4 or 5 hours away from anything that would pass as a hospital. And the family regularly got together, Wilbur and Joyce and their three children, and with nothing in front of them, they recited together Psalm 121, which is a marvellous psalm for whatever situation you are in life. I will interject one comment in it. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Nah, that's no use. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Well, to follow that, I can say that Psalm 121 was my mum's favourite psalm. I want to put this in a bit of context. I'm going to take you back to, not as far as John, but to the year 2000. Our son had only just died. It was just a couple of years. To be honest, the two of us were in pieces, trying to find our way. The church in Cheltenham was not very supportive at all towards us. Now I can see that they too were grieving in their own way. But it was very hard, and we knew we had to move. And our superintendent at the time, Roger Hayden, a very great friend, said, go and have a look at this little church in Northamptonshire, Moulton. It'll be okay. It'll be all right for you to find your feet, and then we can move you on. Well, as it happened, it turned out to be the busiest church we've ever been in. But anyway, we went on a visit, and these two verses from Psalm 16 were given to me, and they've stayed with me ever since. And I've just lost them. Yeah, here we are. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance.
We all have times in our lives, don't we, when we feel as if the world around us, our bit of world, is spiraling out of control and we really don't understand what's going on. And this happened to me and I couldn't believe it. You know, I'd done nothing for this to happen. Why did it happen? And it's at times like that you have to make a choice. You know, either God is going to be there and help you, or I don't want a God like that, thank you very much, I'm giving up. Well, for me, there wasn't a choice. I knew that God was the only person around me that I could really, really rely on. But even knowing that he was there didn't make it very easy on a day-to-day basis. And I don't know a lot of scripture off by heart, but I did know the Lord is my shepherd. And it was the bit, verse 4 of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I really did feel like I was struggling around, groping around in the dark. I didn't know how I was going to get out of this pit, what I was going to do. I couldn't even see a glimmer of light at the end of this dark valley. But the psalm goes on, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it was only God and that verse that kept me going to think, yes, I can do it. I can do it with God. I'll do one step at a time. And eventually, there was a lot of heartache. There was tears every day and crying to God in my pillow at night, saying, I can't take any more. You promised you wouldn't give me any more than I can stand. And I've had enough now. But he would be there and he'd just keep you moving on and moving on. And eventually I could see the green pasture and it was getting closer and there was just a little bit of grass to start with. And then eventually the whole world opened again. So at the time you couldn't see where you were going, but you've got to trust in God alone and he will see you through if you just trust in him. Thank you.
So, like everybody else this morning, I was confronted with which psalm to choose. Shall I choose Psalm 23? It is a good one, but I thought somebody else might choose that. Maybe I should choose Psalm 117. It's only two verses long, nice and simple, just like me. But in the end, I ended up on Psalm 121. For different reasons than John. I've not been to Sierra Leone, but I chose this one anyway. And I'm going to read it again. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and evermore. So this psalm reminded me that the Lord is in control of all things, the maker of heaven and earth. The maker of heaven and earth was watching over me. He wasn't going to let my foot slip, but he didn't say the road wouldn't be slippery. The Lord never slumbers nor sleeps. In his protection of me day or night, even when I slip off into daydreams or I'm preoccupied with other things, the Lord was watching over me. He watches over me day and night, now and forevermore. And I was reminded that the Lord was always with me. Amen.
I don't know if anyone else has got a psalm they want to share. Yes, you can. Of course you can, Sheila. So if any of you have got something you want to share, then do come up and share a verse or two. Sheila.
Can I mention that?
You can mention whatever you like.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you that knew Matt, he was the most wonderful guitarist, a very, very talented musician. And talking about David this morning, he did write a wonderful piece of music called The Face of David. And it is on YouTube, if any of you want to go onto there. His music is there, and it is absolutely wonderful, the music that Matt has made, played, for all kinds of people. And my psalm today is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs and know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.
Come on. Start queuing up. Come on, Pam.
Right. For those of you that know me, I've had a rather bumpy ride over the last few years with my parents being ill and then passing away. And this Psalm 91, verses 14 and 15... really speaks to me. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. And he will call on me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honour him. And that is exactly what he's done. We don't, in times of trouble, it is tempting to forget about God, but if we keep him there, he gets us through it, and that is what I have found through these few years. So that's my psalm. Thank you.
This psalm, which is Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8, was written by David when he was in the wilderness. And I think we all at times have those wilderness experiences where God doesn't seem very close to us, although we know that he is always with us, but sometimes we just feel that he's not. And it says, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, for your strong right hand holds me securely. And sometimes when we're in the wilderness, we don't feel close to God. And sometimes praise and worship is a choice. Sometimes we come into church and, you know, if our moods are good, then we really engage with the praise and the worship and we feel part of it. But if we're in the wilderness, we often don't feel like that, and praise and worship then becomes a choice. You have to dig deep. And if you don't like, I've been in conferences where I've not enjoyed the praise and the worship because of whoever's been leading it. And then at times like this, you have to dig deep and think, I need to praise. This isn't about whoever's up there doing the songs. It's not about what the song is. It's about engaging with God and putting your eyes back on God. Thank you.
Okay, comes here.
We may have experienced times when our Christian life has become rather dull and unreal. And at a time like that, I was reading through the Psalms, and this verse 10 of Psalm 85 really spoke to me, where it says, "Love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other." And it just was brought home to me what a wonderful picture of what Jesus did on Calvary. And it was really a joy to me just to read that and experience it.
Typical. My two psalms have been just had. So Jane read from Psalm 91, and many years ago I was lying in hospital waiting for a possibly life-saving operation, and this psalm came to me as I was flicking through in the quiet hours of the night, and it were the verses that Jane has read. Psalm 91, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him." And that was a real encouragement to me, as well as the book my dad gave me, which was a biography of John Newton. That was quite something to read as you're lying in hospital, not feeling very well. And then the other psalm was Psalm 63, which Pam has just read to us. A few years ago, I was listening to a worship song, and I thought, this has got to be based on a psalm. So, like you do, you get the psalms out, and you look at each of them and think, is that the one? Is that the one? But eventually I found it, and it was Psalm 63. And particularly those verses 2 to 5, where the psalmist is praising God. He's seen God in the sanctuary. He knows God's love is better than anything else, and he wants to praise God as long as he lives. He lift up his hands in worship. And without going on too long, Chris and I are reading a book about prayer at the moment by Pete Gregg. You may know him, the Christian writer. And he has a useful help prayer for prayer. The word pray, P-R-A-Y. P is pause, be still. R is rejoice, rejoice in all that God's done. A is ask, which is what we normally think of prayer as. And Y is yield, you'll yield to God's voice, yield to what he wants us to do. Thanks.
It's good, isn't it, to be able to just listen to how encouraging it is to pick a psalm and just say something about it, the way God has spoken into our lives through different passages of Scripture. And time has gone this morning, but I just want to finish off just with two more quick thoughts from this psalm. We've talked about show me the right path and how much do we need God to show us the right path. But there's also two other things in this psalm as well. Not only does David want to be shown the right path, he wants to be led along the right path. So not just a sense of being shown, holding hands with Jesus as we walk along the path he's chosen for us. There's another psalm of David, Psalm 37. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Isn't that a lovely thought, that not only does God show and point us on the right path, he leads us along it as well. And then, of course, there's one more thing that I pulled out of this, and it was this. Not only show me the path, not only lead me along the path, but teach me, Lord, to stay on the path. And we might be being led by the hand. But of course, there's no forcing us to stay on the path that God would have us on. Jesus is always with us, whether we're walking, operating in his will or not. His love is ever present, because God simply is. He operates outside of space and time, but chooses to come to his creation out of love. And what an awesome thought that is, that God chooses to come to us. Part of God's promise to the people of Israel through Isaiah said, "And when you turn to the right, or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is my way. Walk in it." So let's keep listening for the Holy Spirit's voice, asking him to show us, lead us, and teach us as we walk together with him and with each other. I just want us to spend a couple of minutes now. I'm just going to play a song. And it's a song called "Show Me Your Way." And I pray that as you hear it and as you watch the words, that you allow God just to speak into your spirits this morning. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, God can show you the way.
Show me your way.
Holy Spirit, show us your way as we cry out to you. Touch us, Father. Show us the way. Amen. Oh, Lord. We're going to finish our time this morning by just singing this hymn. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, we want you to show us. Where else can we go? When we're at the mountaintop, or when we're at the valley, we need God to show us the way. Lord, be thou my vision. Thanks, Brian. Let's just finish this morning just by saying the grace one with another. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.